everyone, and welcome back into a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous show to share with you today that's part of another incredible festival happening here in New York. Happy festival season, listeners. Joining us to talk about their piece is the playwright and performer Mari Crawford, who's joining us to speak about her show, Bipolar Badass, which is part of the United Solo Festival. You've got one more chance to catch it, and that is Wednesday, April 24th at 8:30 p.m. at Theater Row. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting maricrawford.com/bipolarbadass. We are so excited to be bringing you this fantastic piece. It had a fabulous run in the 2023 Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And so far, it's done amazing things here in New York, selling out their first show at Theater Row at the United Solo Festival. So let's not waste any more time. Let's bring on our amazing guest, Mari Crawford. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
I am thrilled you're here. I want to know more about this piece. I'm so excited. I mean, the little snippet that you sent when you reached out to us, all the acclaim on it, I was like, oh my gosh, this looks so good. What else do you have? And now you're here in New York playing out a sold out house already. And you've got one last show coming up on Wednesday. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what Bipolar Badass is about?
Of course. Yeah. So it's essentially, you know, one woman show, part of the United Solo Festival, and it's a dark comedy, and it essentially is my story being diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 19. And so the beginning, I kind of take the audience through periods of psychosis, mania, and depression, and then I learn a little more about my family history, and I have kind of a metaphor of bipolar as a dragon that I bring throughout the piece. And I'm such a stickler for like spoilers, so I don't want to necessarily give like too much away, but it does kind of come to, there are a lot of like, it kind of comes to a point of reclaiming your power, because I think bipolar disorder and a lot of, you know, serious mental illnesses can be so inhibiting and so difficult. And so this is kind of my story of really explaining something that's, you know, a big part of my life. Like, I take a fair amount of medication, and it's, you know, I've been diagnosed for 10 years now. And essentially Bipolar Badass is like the defiance of taking a shitty situation and a horrible thing that happens to you and kind of having power over it. And I really, it's kind of like, I think of it as like, I don't want it to be kind of like a live, laugh, love power over it, you know, but a power over it that is hopeful and true and humorous and digestible and kind of gives an experience for the audience to kind of really understand what bipolar is. Cause I actually talk about a lot how it's like depicted in the media. And I talk about the show Maniac with Emma Stone and the Modern Love show with Anne Hathaway's character that has bipolar. So I talk about Reddit as well. So it's fun. I have some like projections of Reddit posts that I have in the show too. And yeah, so yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's my story in a defiant, fun, funny way that's not live, laugh, love, but happy.
That is fantastic. What a great story you are telling. And I kind of want to build on, you know, what you mentioned about it being truthful and everything. You know, what inspired you to write this show and to do this show?
So essentially, I've been, you know, wanting to be an actor since I was 5 and was pursuing it in New York City when I was younger, and just like realized that to have kind of control over my performances, I started doing stand-up comedy because I could like write my own stuff, you know, and perform. And then I started writing about my bipolar, and I was just like, it felt like the main thing keeping me from really, you know, succeeding in art, because it was so detrimental to like my mental health and behind the scenes, was finally something that I was like writing about. And so, and then I was like, I really want to make this into a show. So I had about 7 minutes of stand-up, and then I kind of built built a one-woman show around that. So it's been really awesome kind of writing about something that's held me back for so long and now having that kind of be my thing.
Is so wonderful and empowering too. I love that. So with the being, as I mentioned, so personal, what has it been like developing this piece, particularly this iteration at the United Solo Festival?
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot emotionally, I think more than I realized, but it's been very cathartic and felt very important. And I think the whole time I've been making it, I've just been thinking about like, if I saw this when I was 19, I would just feel so much better about being bipolar. And so it's been interesting. How do I like What's the best way to describe how it's been? Traumatic thinking about all these things again, but then able to kind of put them together into this full fleshed out piece has been ultimately cathartic.
That is so wonderful. Truly. I know I keep saying wonderful, but I really mean it. I think that's so fantastic. So let me ask you, I mean, you really have touched on this already in your answers, but is there a message or a thought you are hoping audiences will take away from your piece?
Yeah, there definitely is. I think I want people to take away specifically with bipolar, like it's not something to be scared of. I think a big thing with the story is like I have it as a metaphor for a dragon, and it's like I don't want this dragon, and it has kind of a negative connotation. And I think with mental illness and any disability, like the person that has it doesn't want it, So then the added stigma that society has on that to kind of like depict it as something bad. It's like, well, the person that has this, that's something that bad doesn't want it either. So I think to just be a lot less fearful of the disorder and the disability is that's a big thing for me, definitely.
I love that. I love that. You're crushing the stigma.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to your piece, Bipolar Badass?
Yeah, I think anyone that is ultimately anyone, like, I think this could really help anyone who, even if you don't know someone who has bipolar, if you do know someone who has bipolar, just to kind of reclaim and see what it really is and not be just scared of this insane word. So, I mean, ultimately, I think help definitely people with bipolar who have it feel a lot less shitty about themselves for having it.
Well, for the second part of our show, we'd love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to know what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites?
Oh, some of my favorite shows. What a lovely question. Well, I grew up loving music, seeing a bunch of musicals, loving musicals. Off the top of my head, Dreamgirls, I'm obsessed. Oh my God, I love Dreamgirls so much. Wicked, I know it's super mainstream, but I'm always like, it's mainstream for a reason. Like Wicked is phenomenal. I also saw Death of a Salesman at the Yale Rep when I was younger, and that was just like, that was like a kind of a life-changing experience for me, genuinely. It was phenomenal. I love Chekhov. I love Beckett. Love Oscar Wilde. Yeah, I'm just, I'm a theater kid. I'm a big, Edward Albee, Thornton Wilder. I really love, I guess, like, should I say my top plays that I like? I really like Tennessee Williams. I think Streetcar is classic. I also really like Glass Menagerie. But I think my favorite, I could probably talk about plays all day, but my favorite writer, hands down, is Oscar Wilde. I have a little coaster. I'm literally obsessed with Oscar Wilde. When I was read in 2011, I read De Profundis, and it just like changed my life. And actually, in Scotland, I got this Emerging Artist Award, so I ended up staying in Europe till October in Ireland. So I went to perform in Ireland in October. So I actually went to Oscar Wilde's grave in Paris, and then I went to where he was buried in Reading, UK, right outside of London. And I mean, sorry, not buried in prison. I went to his grave where he was buried in Paris. Actually, he wasn't originally buried there. Fun fact, they moved him once this first person that loved him had more money. They moved his grave to Paris. So went there. Then I went to where he was in prison in Reading, the United Kingdom. And then I went to his childhood house in Dublin in Ireland. And I just truly like have a strong love for them and knew that if they were alive now, we would be best friends.
I love that.
Love my Oscar, love my boy.
That is amazing. That is amazing. What great inspiration. Truly, that is amazing. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Love that question. I've been thinking about that. Well, it's interesting. This is a little story that answered to your question based off the story. Because when I started doing stand up, it was kind of an opportunity for myself to perform more and write more, and it was lovely. And connecting with your comedians has been absolutely lovely. And I was like, I really like humor. Like I really like the challenge of making a depressing thing funny, and I like laughing. And then I was like, okay, so I really like stand up, but now kind of going back into th theater a little more and kind of where I've been since I was younger, I actually really what I really like about theater is that the audience is in the darkness and they're looking at you and no one's looking at them except for you, but not really. It's not like stand up, the audience is a part of the show. Theater, the audience is a part of it as well, but they don't necessarily need to interact with you. But that kind of gives the audience the ability to like hide in a sense and just like cry and be emotional and just feel like they can do that because they're in the darkness and they're encouraged to do that and they're encouraged to feel. So I think just creating like a live space for people to be like, okay, I'm feeling sad. Like I can tear up. That's okay right now. Like I'm laughing. I think this is funny. I can laugh. That's okay right now. And just that magical darkness for the audience to just be like, yay, I can feel all these things. And creating that space for someone, I think, could be just a great experience for an audience member.
I completely agree with you. That is such an incredible moment. I love that. Love that. Thank you for that thought. That's amazing. And it's actually a really great lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh my God, I love that question. So, okay, I have it. I was like, there's so many. Okay, the first one that comes. Okay. So, when I was five, my dad was a pastor my whole life. He still is a pastor. And the young adults group had a performance of Godspell. And I was five. I said this 50 times already. I was five. And I was just like enamored with them. I was just like, wait, what is this? Like, what is happening? I'm obsessed. And I'll never forget that feeling. And I had my little church bulletin and I had every single one of like the youth like in the cast of Godspell sign my church bulletin before I even like knew that was a thing. I just wanted all their signatures. And that was just kind of the magic of performance. I think that's really when I fell in love with it. Godspell.
I love that. That is a fantastic memory. Oh my gosh. You were doing autographs before it was cool, almost, you know? That is a lovely memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
you.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, Do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Yeah, I think just if people follow me on Instagram, this Bipolar Badass has been a lot of work right now, so that's kind of been my main focus, and obviously that shows on Wednesday. But I do think I'm probably gonna start like a Substack because I do write. That's what it's called, right? Substack. Because I do write a lot of like short stories and stuff, and I think now that I'm making more artistic things, I kind of want to make like a newsletter and have something a little more consistently coming out. And I'll probably kind of, start doing a little more stand up after this. And then definitely want to, Bipolar will be back in NYC soon. We'll be back.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah,
And that's a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Bipolar Badass or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Yes. So yeah, so my Instagram is MARII dot Crawford, CRAWFORD. And then I also have an Instagram for Bipolar Badass, and that's just bipolar dot badass. So you just follow either of those. And then regarding the show, sometimes people reach out to me and just tell me about their experience. One time in Scotland, this one woman came up to me after the show and she was like, cry she was she looked kind of disheveled and she was crying and she was like, my psychiatrist wants me to take medication, my mom wants me to take medication, and I haven't, but I think after seeing your show I might, because I think I do have bipolar. And that, like, I still think about that all the time. So I really do love when people message me like how the show made them feel and what, their experience has been, because that just kind of like makes me happy and keeps me going knowing that there's people that are inspired by it. So if anyone wants to DM the Bipolar Badass account, they're more than welcome to.
That is so wonderful. I love that people are reaching out to see the power of theater right there.
Yes. Amen.
Well, Mari, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, for sharing not only your beautiful story, but this beautiful piece that you've created. It sounds amazing. And like you said, it's going to be back here in New York. I can't wait to see it. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been so lovely speaking with you.
Oh, thank you. My guest today has been the playwright and performer Mari Crawford, whose show Bipolar Badass is part of the United Solo Festival. Its final show, and I would get your tickets fast because the first one has sold out. Its final show is Wednesday, April 24th at 8:30 p.m., and that's happening at Theater Row. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting maricrawford.com/bipolarbadass. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media post. But right now, get your tickets. Seriously, I have a really good feeling the show is going to sell out and you are not going to want to miss this. Though it will be back, this is the time now to see this powerful story. It's Bipolar Badass, Wednesday, April 24th at 8:30 p.m. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.